Turn to Psalm 23, please. We're going to read through the psalm in the Christian Standard Bible. I know we're probably most familiar with it in the King James or something closely related to that, and I'll probably use that in quotation some. The central idea, God is great enough to take care of all of our needs. Do you believe that? Think about that. Would you think about that again and just repeat that to yourself? God is great enough to take care of all of the needs of my life. Do you trust Him to do that? Now let's read through the psalm. You read through with me. If you want to read out loud while we're going through the psalm, we're going to start and read through it together. So if they'll go ahead and post that beginning in verse 1. And let me just go ahead and start reading. And the Lord is my shepherd. I have what I need. He lets me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He renews my life. He leads me along the right paths for His name's sake. Even when I go through the darkest valley, I fear no danger, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Only goodness and faithful love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord as long as I live. Now just think about the fascinating truth shared with us in all of that. One writer said probably the foundational truth of Psalm 23 that gives us power is expressed in the heart of that verse 4. And I would encourage you, if you have a pen, maybe to underline that in your Bible if you do that. But look at that verse 4 where he says, "For You are with me." You are with me. I'd say that probably would be a foundational truth maybe of the whole psalm, wouldn't you? Now keep in mind that David's writing this psalm, and as I mentioned earlier, we're familiar with this psalm being used often at funerals. But I want to remind you today that the psalm was not written to be a funeral psalm. It was written to teach us how to live daily, to live life day to day in the areas that the Lord would desire us to do so. But right in the middle of this, David reminds us, "You are with me." Now let me remind you that David was a shepherd. You find a number of characters in the Old Testament. Moses was a shepherd. And the earliest reading and understanding we have of David, remember he was growing up as a child, and he was a shepherd in the field. He was the youngest in the family. God had great things for him, but his family or no one else, not even David, knew that at the time. And we read in the Old Testament number of stories about David killing wild animals and taking care of the shepherd. And we've heard before, you know, the characteristics of sheep. They say sheep are some of the dumbest animals in the world. And that's why they need direction of shepherds who had the responsibility of taking care of them. And we find so much teaching related to that. And right at the end of that first verse, he says, "I have what I need." Now, how many of you are more familiar with this than the King James or New King James. How many of you have memorized this maybe in a King James or maybe another translation? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Now, I've given you just a very simple outline. And it's taken right from the scripture. And so I'm going to spend some time just going through that and teaching us that. A couple of years ago, a friend of mine in our church, all of you are friends of mine, I don't know why I said it that way, but don't look at me like that. You're a friend of mine. Reach back there and shake that lady over your right-hand side there, Tom. And had a book written by a man by the name of Don Wurtson. How many of you have ever heard of the Wurtson family? It started Word of Life Institute. Anybody ever heard of them? But years ago, Etta had a book written by Don Wurtson. Don Wurtson, his dad, Jack Wurtson, started Word of Life Ministry. Don grew up in that ministry, and he got a college degree, and then he went on to Dallas Seminary to study. And but he was a musician. And so he wrote a book covering every psalm, and from a music understanding. It's really a great book. Lo and behold, on Pastor Appreciation Day, Etta gave me one of those books. She found me one, and I tried to talk her out of hers when she first showed it to me, and she said, "No way, Jose." She said, "That's a good way to lose an arm, reaching for that book." And but the introduction I took from Don Wurtson, I want you to read that with me. If you'll look at the introduction in your outline there, Wurtson said, "Perhaps the most creative and artistic person in the Bible, David, was a virtuoso harpist, a military genius, a capable administrator, and a cultural innovator. He led a sweeping renaissance of Jewish culture. Perhaps his most enduring literary achievement was to write and or compile this psalm, the most loved and well-known of all. It comforts, it satisfies, and it meets the deepest longings of the human heart." Now keep in mind that David was all of those things, but he started out as a young man in the shepherd field, watching the sheep, and many of the characteristics that we learn came to us, that he taught us. And so he writes this from the perspective of a shepherd. So this is a shepherd writing to us about being a shepherd. And so we see this fascinating application that David makes. Barb and I had an interesting experience. We were gone for a week to visit our son and daughter-in-law and our grandchildren, five grandkids in Houston, Texas. The youngest is 7 months old, and their ages 2, 4, 6, and 8, and the two oldest ones, 6 and 8, turned 7 and 9 while we were there, so we celebrated birthday parties. And we had to come home to revive, to get some rest and catch up. But we had a great time. But we stayed in a hotel just about 10 minutes from where Tim and Jordan live. And they had a breakfast bar, which was good. We'd go down and have breakfast each morning. And we saw this couple that was there every morning also. And one morning they were sitting close to us, right next to us in the table. And I turned and I said to them, I said, "Where are you from?" And in broken English, the man looked at me and he said, "We are from Russia." And I said, "Where in Russia?" And he said, "We are near Moscow." They said, we have a son that lives in Houston, and we are over here visiting with him and their grandchildren. And then the lady spoke up, and her English was not quite as good as him, and she looked at us very warmly. She said, we've noticed you praying each morning before you eat. We, too, are Christians. Next sighting, right in the middle of Houston, not knowing anybody other than our in-laws. And so the rest of the time there, we had fellowship with them. And she was so warm. As a matter of fact, this Tuesday, we flew out last Wednesday. And so we were down eating Tuesday morning. We told them that we would be flying back the next day. They were flying out Thursday. I was up getting coffee, and she come up to see me at the coffee machine. She come up to talk to me and just wanted to thank us for being so warm toward them. And she said, I could tell you were Christians. You can just see it in people's eyes. You can see it in their face. She gave me a hug. And then she went back to the table, and she hugged Barb and kissed her on the cheek. I gave her our card. I didn't get their address. We got their names, and I cannot pronounce their names. I do remember that his name was Dimitri. And the last name was the full alphabet from A to Z. So if anybody knows any, can understand any of the language there, maybe you could help me with the... I'm hoping, though, they'll contact us, because I thought, what a blessing. But you know, when you think about the Christian life, and you think about what David has captured for us here, one writer said that he felt like that David was writing this in his old age. You know, he started out as a shepherd. He became king. He was a military leader. He fell into sin. He had difficulty within his family. He you think about David's life. And here David's looking back over his life. And he says, the Lord is my shepherd. And I want to start with that, and I want us just to work our way through that. And I want you to look at the three thoughts that I've put up with you. And I want you to think about this. So often we struggle sometimes with self-image. And David is reminding us here, and when you think about the characteristics that we've heard over the time about sheep, let's remind ourselves that we are sheep. We have a great shepherd. And you know, sometimes we struggle with a poor self-image, and sometimes you meet people that just can't get over. And sometimes we even get caught up in past life and in things, failures, and just things that we regret. And if we're not careful, we can wallow around that so long that we lose sight of the image that we should have in the Lord in our growth and maturity in Him. And sometimes you meet people that are just struggling because of that. But David is reminding us here that, you know, from this best known of all the Psalms, probably there's not many people that have not heard Psalm 23. But this is the testimony of a man who needed and found a shepherd. And I remind you again of all the characteristics of a shepherd. And so David, as you look at this carefully, you understand that the writer was thrilled with the shepherd that he discovered. And he was thoroughly enjoying his relationship with this shepherd. This thing won't stay on. And so I think it's very applicable that David starts out this way. The Lord is my shepherd. And I want you this morning, as we reflect on this, to reflect yourself, to personalize this, and ask yourself if you have a personal relationship with the chief shepherd. What is your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? What is your relationship with God today through Jesus Christ? See, that's why David starts out this way. And you'll notice that that he is trying to help us to comprehend and to understand that we can have a healthy self-image, but we have to get through this sheep image. And David certainly got through that sheep image, and he reflects that. And just in these six verses, there is so much here for us to understand and to comprehend. And there's so much in the Bible, and you're familiar with this, that reflects back. You remember Isaiah 53:6 says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way." And this is where David is. David brings us back to this personal relationship. That's why I thought verse 4 was so significant when he said, "For you are with me." See, God is always with you. Now, if you're offended by that, you say, "Well, I don't want to think of myself as being a sheep." If you're saved today, you're a sheep. If you're saved today, because there's so much in the Bible that reflects back on the great shepherd and the fact that we are his flock. I would encourage you, and I'll give you a quiz on this next Sunday, but read John chapter 10. Read John chapter 10 this week, and you'll see some of the same emphasis there from the New Testament perspective of the importance of this relationship that we develop and that we have in this. And so you see this remarkable attitude and also aptitude for that David expresses, because David understood, being a shepherd, he understood what it meant to care for sheep. Now go back with me right there at the very beginning. David starts out with the Lord. He starts out reminding us of this relationship with the Lord. Now reflect with this with me on this, will you? And think about the importance of how David started. Again, Don Wurtson said, he said this psalm starts straight worthily with the simple words, "The Lord is my shepherd." And he said, "Lord is emphatic here. It is the Lord who makes our faith distinctive. No other person fits, not Muhammad, not Buddha, not Gandhi." And so David starts out just by reminding us with this simple phrase, "The Lord, the one of whom the sheep speaks, the Lord." We are familiar with what that name always implies. And the shepherd is reminding us that we're not just insignificant individuals. We're not just a number. But the Lord Jesus Christ, God Almighty. And you'll notice I put the word Yahweh there with, do you realize in the Old Testament that they use different words to describe certain characteristics of God? That's a good study we should do sometime. And David starts off by using a significant word, You see, the Jewish people were so in awe of God that they were hesitant to use the name God. And so they would use the word Yahweh, which means Jehovah. And it means the covenant-making God. God Jehovah, the covenant-making God. We have this God who made the covenant with people in the Old Testament. He made an agreement. He made a contract. He made promises. We have a God as our great shepherd who has made a covenant with us. And he said to us, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son hath not life. In other words, if you have Jesus in your heart, you have eternal life. If you don't have Jesus in your heart, you don't have eternal life. And God has made promise after promise after promise. And David was aware of this because he lived this. And you and I have lived this also. And David wants us to reflect on the real life experiences that he went through. So he starts off with this most important psalm with the phrase, "The Lord." To believe this does more for this fractured self-image that we can sometimes develop. And if we're not careful, we can all fall into this woe is me attitude. I'm just not as important as most people. I'm not as important. I'm not as significant. I'm not, which is absolutely not true. God knows everything about you. He has a plan and a purpose for your life. And that's why I think for a central idea, God is great enough to take care of all of your needs because he knows everything going on in your life. Everything. And he has a plan and a purpose for you. And that plan and that purpose involves you recognizing the Lord as the most significant person in your life. Relationship. Relationship. Notice, secondly, David says, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. And I hope you can say that this morning. The Lord is my shepherd. You see, shepherdless sheep and sheep with shepherds are totally different, one writer said. It's the shepherd who makes the difference. You see, in David's day, David understood that the shepherd was the one that cared for the flock. And you study the characteristics back then, and sheep, you know, they could get lost easily. They could be in a green pasture, just beautiful and nourishing, and all the food they need. And if they see a hole in the fence, boy, they'll go through that hole. You've heard the phrase, the grass always looks greener on the other side. One writer said, especially if it's over a sewer system, but you know, sometimes we think the grass always looks greener. And he's trying to remind us here of the characteristics of the sheep. And if we be honest with ourselves, we understand that we live these types of characteristics also. You see, the sheep, as John chapter 10 reminds us, they knew the voice of the shepherd. And they were accustomed to having pens where they would settle for the night. And sometimes there would be different flocks with different shepherds come in the same pen. But the sheep were so familiar with the voice of their shepherd that although they were mixed with other sheep, the next morning their shepherd would go to the exit to leave, and the shepherd would just start calling for his sheep, and they knew his voice. They had relationship with the shepherd. They knew that voice, and they just started falling in line. The shepherd was responsible for the safety of the sheep. Because in the culture of their day, and see, you and I don't understand, and sometimes we have to understand the culture of the Mideast where you know, it was dry and desert, and they had to find good places to feed. And they had a lot of rough terrain that they had to maneuver over. And sometimes the sheep would get injured, and sometimes they'd get bruised. And sometimes they'd eat the wrong thing and get sick. And sometimes they would come upon a snake and get infected by that. And the shepherd was responsible for all of this. So when David says to you and me, the Lord is my shepherd, just stop and think about the application of all that that means. You see, shepherd was the most comprehensive and intimate metaphor in the Psalms. The shepherd lives with his flock and everything to it. He's their guide. He's their physician. He's their protector. And this is what David is trying to help you and me to understand. He's trying to help us to understand that the Lord Jesus is the good shepherd who not only gives his life for the sheep, but he also knows them and calls them by name and he leads them. The good shepherd knows you. He knows your name. He knows all about you. But do you know him as intimate as you should? Do you hear his voice? Do you understand that he is with you in and through everything? That's why, again, I remind you that God is great enough to take care of every need that you have in life. Now, don't make that complicated. Don't make that statement. Don't say to yourself, well, that's very trite and very... No. It's not very trite. That's very true. God can meet every need. I'm sure this morning that each of us have different challenges in life. Visiting my family in Houston, my daughter-in-law's off work right now because she works for the government. And some of you perhaps are in that situation. I mean, we live in a society where things can happen. You can be riding down 610 one minute, mind your own business, trying to get home for dinner and be in a car wreck. I mean, we live in a society to where things happen and we don't always know and we can't always anticipate, but God knows. And he's in control. Even when you think he's not. But he wants a personal relationship with you. He wants you to trust him for those needs. I heard of a pastor having a conversation with a lady, and she says, I don't know what you mean by trust. I just don't know. I've never been able to understand or comprehend that, trusting God. He said, well, let me ask you, have you ever gone swimming? Are you a swimmer? And she said, yeah, I've gone swimming. And can you float? She said, oh, I can't float. She said, I sink every time. He said, well, you realize the understanding under floating, about floating is if you rest your body on the water, the water will hold you up if you trust it to do so. Now, if some of you go out this week and try that, and you drown between now and next week, don't come back and hold me for that. But if you've ever taken swimming lessons, somebody tried to teach you that. Anybody with me? Thank you for that little bit of reinforcement from two people. He said it's the same thing in trusting God. And And you know, we all struggle sometimes, don't we, with trusting God. And so David's trying to remind us here that the Lord is my shepherd. That phrase, your shepherd, you have a verb there. It's a participle, and it means, if you're looking at number two, it means the Lord is shepherding me. That's what David's saying. The Lord is shepherding me. That's what David's saying. Now, in order to be taught, you have to be teachable, don't you? And your growth in the Christian life depends on your teachability. Let me ask you something. Are you teachable? Are you a learner? Do you want to grow spiritually? Do you want to become more mature in your faith and your faith in this journey with God? Well, then you have to be teachable, and you look at that phrase, the Lord is shepherding me. And the Lord desires to shepherd you, but he wants you to be willing to follow him. Do you hear his voice? Are you following him? Are you listening? Are you obeying? Are you committed to the Lord in that sense? And let me just read a couple of verses to you from the Gospel of John, chapter 10. I've mentioned that. I wish I had time to read more. I don't this morning. Maybe sometime along we'll read more from here. But in verses 27 and 28, I think we have that. And look at that with me. John chapter 10, 27 and 28. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. No one will snatch them out of my hand. If you have truly, genuinely trusted Jesus Christ today as your Lord and Savior, if you have sought forgiveness of your sins and repented of those sins and turned to the Lord, then this applies to you. No one. And there are certain people, liberals, who will take that phrase, no one will snatch them out of my hand, and they'll try to say, well, Satan can't. No. If you're truly saved today, no one can snatch you out of your relationship with God and the eternal life that you're putting your hope in. But God desires that you keep listening to his voice, because he speaks to us. How does God speak to you? He speaks to us through his word. Are you reading the word daily? Are you praying daily? Don't just read the word to check it off. And we were having a conversation earlier, and so often we just, you know, I read my chapter today. I read my three chapters today. Well, did you listen to them? Because the Holy Spirit has something in that he wants to teach you and me. That's how we grow. That's how we mature. And so this is what the writer is reminding us of. And again, he reminds us of that personal relationship. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. The note of personal relationship is emphasized by the word my. It can't get any more intimate than that. I mean, we use that all the time. Barbara is my wife. Anna and Joe and Tim are my children. The Lord is my shepherd, my God, the one who has promised to me that he'll never leave me nor forsake me, and that he will protect me from anyone and everyone if I will only trust him in that. You see, some people talk about God in generalities but are reluctant to get personal about him. To say that Christ is real and relevant to them personally is more than a lot of people can imagine. And if you're not growing in the Lord, you're not going to feel that personal application. You're not going to feel the reality of that. To profess intimacy with Him is to them the, you know, the gravest embarrassment that it, and yet He looks for a personal commitment from us that He offers us. Now look at that verse with me again. One writer brought up this note. I thought this was fascinating. He said, the absolute certainty of the whole relationship is found in one tiny word right in the middle of the statement. The word is. He said, no ifs or buts, just a clear is. Not the Lord is my shepherd if, not the Lord is my shepherd, but the Lord is my shepherd. He said, put it all together and you have the kind of conviction that makes sheep into wolf chasers. Mice into men. The inadequate person into an adequate person whose self-image is wrapped up in the Holy Spirit who indwells them. Look at that last phrase then that we have there. I shall not want. I am never in a state of want. King James, I shall not want. My Christian Standard, I have what I need. Do all of you have a similar statement there in your version? What version are you reading from? What?
The New Living says, I have all that I need.
I have all that I need. What's the NIV say? Anybody? What?
I lack nothing.
The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I lack nothing. I have all that I need. He's all that I need. Again, go to your central idea. God is great enough to take care of all of our needs. You say, well, that's just so simple. That's so biblical. Doesn't mean He's going to wipe away everything. That's what we sometimes pray, right? Lord, if You'll just take me, if You'll just, boy, get me out of this mess. No, He might not get you out of the mess, but He'll help you as you walk through it. Because you have an intimate relationship with Him. Do you trust God for every need? Are you trusting God? God, I didn't see this coming. What is this? Where are You? Why are You? Are You listening to me? Do You know what's going on? Yes, He knows all that. And there's a reason and a purpose and a plan for that happening to you. I am never in a state of want. So because the Lord is my shepherd, I will never want at any time for anything I need. That's what He's telling us there. Are you willing to accept trials and testings as part of your daily living? You say, I didn't realize that with this Christian life will come trials and tribulations and testings and situations that I feel like I can't handle. Well, God has a reason and a purpose for that. Maybe He needs to get my attention. Maybe He's trying to grow me and mature me. Maybe He's trying to bring me back to trusting Him with all of this. One writer said, am I a sheep or am I a wolf frightener? And certainly if we understand that, we understand that Satan can certainly cause us to question that sometimes in our walk and our relationship with Him. My friend Don Wurton again, he said, the last phrase, I shall not be in want, means that God will fulfill my deepest personal needs and that I will find meaning and true identity in Him. In short, I don't need God plus anything or anyone. All my emotional and psychological longings for significance and security will find fulfillment in the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Look at our conclusion there on your outline. David started out as a shepherd, so he described his relationship to God in those terms. Some Christians have trusted God to save them for eternity, but they don't have much confidence that he can provide for them in history. David's beautiful poetic testimony can help instill in us the confidence that he can. So let each difficulty become an opportunity to see God at work in your life. Because remind yourself that he has said, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. Now, if you're not one of his flock, you can't count on that. But when you do, one writer said, I believe you will sing with the psalmist, the Lord is my shepherd. I am never in any want. Because you see, this was their songbook. David is singing this song. And I trust that the rest of today and the rest of this week until we meet again, that you will sing at least the first part of this song. Can you remember that part? Will you at least memorize that verse today, this week? The Lord is my shepherd. I have what I need. Would you repeat that with me in closing? All together. The Lord is my shepherd. I have what I need. Let's do it again. The Lord is my shepherd. I have what I need. Are you his sheep? Do you recognize that he's with you always? Always. Not just Sunday morning from 11 to 12 or 12:05 or 12:10. But every day, every moment. Let you and I live in that verse this week. We'll come back next week and we'll look at verses 2 and 3. Let's live as if we believe we have a great shepherd. He knows my every need, and he can meet every need. Let's pray. I trust with heads bowed and eyes closed that as we close in prayer, that you can say in your own heart, the Lord is my shepherd. Now, if you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, you can't make that claim today. So let me encourage you right now. If you can't repeat that with confidence, would you just in this moment ask Jesus to come into your heart, forgive you of your sins, and to be your Savior? Wonder if anyone has been led to pray that prayer this morning. Would you slip your hand? Let me just pray for you. Slip your hand up. Pastor, I'm praying and asking God to save me right this very moment. Anyone? I wonder if there's anyone who would say today, Pastor, as I think about David, as I think about this song that he gave me in this first verse, I'm reflecting upon the fact that the Lord is my shepherd. And he will meet my every need. Physically, mentally, socially, and spiritually. And I'm thanking God right now for that. I'm asking him to help me to live that the rest of this day and the rest of this week. Would you slip your hand up if you're praying that? Yes, 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 yes. Anyone else, just slip your hand up quickly. Yes. Father, we thank you for the Word of God. We thank you so very much of how true your blessing is and how true the Word is to us. And I pray that like the psalmist David in writing this song, I pray that this will speak to our hearts this week, and Lord, that we will live this and we'll focus on developing a stronger, more intimate relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we ask this in Jesus' name, in whose precious name we pray. Amen.